Zayin Shvat, 3rd of February, Rabbi Benji Morgan, Leiv Melochim Yad Hashem, is Trump good for the Jews?
Morning. Up until about 5 minutes ago, that was not the plan of what was the I was speaking about. That's the title that I've been given. So we'll try and do it justice. I don't want this to be a political discussion, but obviously very very contemporary discussion across the world, both Yidden, Western world, Russia, Donald Trump, and is this something which is good? Is it something which is bad? What's the Yid's response to this? And the title that I've been given as of 5 minutes ago was Leiv Melochim V'Yad Hashem, is Trump good for the Jews? So I guess the place to start is Parashas Boys with the first pasuk in this week's parasha. V'Yom Hashem Moshe Boy El Paro Ki Ani Echbadati Es Lipoy Ve'Es Leiv Avodov. That the Rabbeinu Shleilam intervened in the course of history by taking over Paro's heart and kind of controlling it. It's interesting, when it came to the elections, I'm actually a United States citizen, so I get to vote. And a lot of people I was commenting to, is this the best two people in the United States of America that they could put forward? But when it comes to anything that changes the course of history, and we as a nation have always seen this, then we have this concept of Leiv Melochim V'Yad Hashem, which we have to try and define how does that impact on their bechira, and how does that impact on a nation's bechira. Also in the news this week, there was the secretary of Goebbels, which passed away. 106 years old, a lady who was obviously on a good pension. And 106 years old, she passed away, and she said that she is not guilty in any way of anything that she did, because she was just a civil servant. She was just someone who was doing her job. And the question is, in the same way it applies to the Mitzrayim, it applies to Nazi Germany, there were certain people that were pulled into the war, and that was what they were told was their duty. How does one define which Mitzrayim should be toveled by Yom, and which Mitzrayim are the people which were just doing their civil service and their civil duty of fighting for their country, and many of them claimed ignorance? So I guess the place to start when we're discussing these topical questions is with this first pasuk in this week's parasha, which goes already starts with last week's parasha, of how can it be that we see that the Mitzrayim were punished for their actions, when clearly HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervened and had taken over Paro's heart. Rashi, in the first time it's mentioned in last week's parasha, Rashi talks about in Perek Zayin Pasuk Gimel, Va'ani Akshe Slave Paro Ve'Beisi Esoisai Ve'Smoifsai Beret Mitzrayim. Rashi says that, what does it mean, Vani Aksha? Me'acha shehirshia v'hisris konekti, because he has become a rosha, and because he's taken evil acts and wrongdoings, v'golofon of she'in nachas rach v'umas v'oiv dekechavim, losses leiv sholim loshuv, tovli she'iskashe liboy. Because he's sinned, I may as well, tovli she'iskashe liboy. L'man harbos boy so'isayin, always to be able to show and make an example of Paro. So the question is, what does that mean? The Sifsichom has one pshat, and the Ramban has a different pshat, and the Ramban comes with a completely different angle. To understand Rashi, the Sifsichom says that he understood that the Rabbeinu Shleilam knew that Paro, even had he done teshuvah, it would only have been because he saw the Makos, the dam, the Sfardeh, the kinim. When you see that, you end up doing teshuvah. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took over his bechira, because had he done teshuvah and then still been punished, because he would have deserved punishment, because it was only because of the clear revelation, then there would have been a chilul Hashem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make it that it was clear that Paro was not interested in doing teshuvah, and this was just posha, a revelation that Paro had no intention of doing teshuvah in the first place. So to avoid the chilul Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away his bechira, which therefore means that the punishments actually weren't for the averus which he did after the override. The punishments were what brought him to that place. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, he actually brings a different makor. The Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Vav Halacha Gimel, he says that there's this concept of Avera Gereres Avera. There's the concept is that you do one thing today and it leads to what you do tomorrow. And Rav Dessler Michtav Lyo speaks about this when it comes to our own ideas of Bechira Chofshis and how we deal with actions that lead to other actions. So say, for example, someone... There's a story in the United States that I heard from a Talmud of Rav Pam, which unfortunately doesn't go like the normal stories of the Talmud of Rav Pam, where Rabbi Kupitz from Gateshead came across this individual in America who said he was stuck on the side of the road, and he saw this person drive past, and this person, the guy pulls up in front of him, and he says, "Can I help you?" And he clearly didn't seem to be Jewish. So he said to him, this younger man said to him, "How come you're helping me?" He changed his tie, helped him out. He says, "Well, actually, I am Jewish, and I was a Talmud of Rav Pam." So he said, "Well, we've ended up like this." And he said, "Well, about 15 years ago, I was struggling with my Yiddishkeit, and I hadn't really worked on my Emunah, and I decided, you know what, I was in a place, I'd always kept Cholav Yisrael, and I decided not to have Cholav Yisrael. That's all. I was buying a coffee on the roadside, decided not to have Cholav Yisrael. Now, Cholav Yisrael, we know, especially in America with Rav Moshe's Psak, you know, there's clearly a halachic basis to not have Cholav Yisrael, but for him, that was his first step out of that camp. And it wasn't about the Cholav Yisrael, it was about the step that he'd taken. He said, one thing like another, wasn't Cholav Yisrael, suddenly wasn't having anything Yisrael, suddenly wasn't eating, Shabbos, etc. And now, I'm completely not from at all. And Rav Dessler says that the first step, whatever that first step out, means that whatever happens after that is also part of the Bechira. And by the way, it works the same way in the Toiv. That means if someone decides they're going to just do 1 minute of extra learning a day, and through that they end doing 3 minutes, 5 minutes, even if they're no longer making a choice on that 1 minute, because the choices of 5 years ago are now easy, you still get schar for what you did 5 years ago, because that was the mitzvah gereres mitzvah. So says the Rambam, that there's certain rishoyim, there's certain acts that we can take that take us to the point of no return. Hitler yimach shemoi. There's no way he could have done teshuvah in his lifetime. There was just the Rambam's loshon is that a person reaches a midah that shemoinin mimenu darkiat teshuvah. A person reaches a place where he no longer can go back, which therefore means that through the concept of avera gereres avera, Paroi lost his opportunity to do teshuvah. Which actually, therefore, according to the Rambam, means differently to Rashi, is that he was therefore responsible for even the actions that he took after Moinim Menu Darkiat Shuvah, because he had deserved it through his actions of point of no return. So on the one hand, Rashi saying is Hashem intervenes, and the punishment is only what took him till that point. According to the Rambam, even what happened afterwards, because at the end of the day, what brought him to the place of where he's now someone who can no longer, who's reached a point of no return. And that's the difference between Rashi and the Rambam and the intervention that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had there. The Sephorana actually says a very different thing, which is something we're familiar with, although the Eben Ezra completely disagrees. The Sephorana says that imagine you're Paroi. Dom, Tzvardea, Kinim, Oroiv. I mean, there's no way that you're not going to do Teshuvah. You're seeing the Rebbeinu Shel Olam Mamash La'inayim, right? As we see the Ramban at the end of this week's parasha, talks about the whole revelation and the purpose of the Makkos was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed once and for all that he was in complete control of nature, completely in control of the Bria, right? So, therefore, Paroi will have no choice. So, in the same way we have this concept of Kol HaGavul Mechaveiro Yitzer Gavul Himenu, right? The concept is that if someone is big tzaddik, and for him the Nisyonos are easy, then he has to have an equivalent opponent in the fighting ring. So he says that for Paroi, obviously he wasn't a god of Mechaber, but for Paroi, seeing the Rebbeinu Shel Olam on this level, it had to be that Hichbadati Esliboy, there had to be something where it would make it a proper Nisayim, and then Paroi failed. So according to the Sforno again, Hichbadati Esliboy would therefore have an impact on that. Eben Ezra actually says, Leidibir Nechayna, and he argues with that concept, because why is it different here than any other place? But the Maisa, to understand Rashi, there's another Rashi, in Parashas Yisroi, which says, "Atem Reisem Asher Asisi de Mitzrayim, Al Kama Averus Hayichayavin Li." right? That there was this concept that the Egyptians had already done, which is different, obviously, to the way that the Rambam learns, but there was enough Averis that the Mitzrayim had done up until this point to deserve to be able to be punished. And therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam was punishing them even after HaKadosh Baruch Hu had been Mechabed Es Libam, because there was this concept that they, what brought you to this point of having to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine intervention. Now, I believe that that discussion and the discussion about why did Hashem intervene and how much punishment there was, we already had on Monday. But I wanted to use that as introduction to another question which is brought up, which is actually very relevant to our lives and to Donald Trump and to the impact that we can have on the world. Hakod Sofli Varashus Nasuna. This is on every single person. The Mishnah Avos says, Hakod Sofli Varashus Nasuna. Everyone, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything, everything's foreseen, but at the same time, we have free will, we have Bechira. So the kasha of the Rishonim ask is, there was a gezeira in the Brisbane of Sarim, the Avodim, the Inuoysom, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to put Klal Yisrael into 400 years of slavery in Mitzrayim. So the Rishonim asked the kasha, so what did the Mitzri do? There was a gezeira that the Yidden were going to go through the Holocaust. Why do we hold the Germans accountable? Were they accountable? And when it comes to what's going on in the world today, with the President of the United States, people are worried, is this a good thing, is this not a good thing? How much impact can our free will have on the course of history, on the course of the world? And how much of this is predetermined? Because the Ribbono Shel Olam surely has a divine plan, and therefore he knows what's going to happen. So this is something which obviously there's many different shittos on, but the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Vav Halacha Hei, he says, Kol echad ve'echad, on this kash, he says, Kol echad ve'echad, ilu lo rotza losis libam harashus biyadoi. He's discussing that, and there's also the Yidden, where there was Gezeris, he says, that although there is a divine plan in the course of the way that the Bria will run, when it comes to your own personal individual hashgacha pratis, that every person has a choice with which to make. The Rabbit actually argues with him, because he says, in that case, every single person could, if every Mitzri would have stood up and said, well, not me, I'm not going to do this, not me, I'm not going to do this, then how could the Gezerah have been Mekayim? But the Rambam says, no, there was a Gezerah that the Yidden will be in Golas Mitzrayim. The question is, are you, Mr. Mitzri, are you going to play a part in that? Are you going to stand up and play a part in that history? Now, Rizal says the most amazing thing on Purim, in the story of the Megillah, the kasha is that you have Mordechai trying to empower Esther to go and risk her life. Now, if any of us would want to ask someone to go into literally the Chadri Chadorim, risk your life in order to be able to ask for the survival of the Jewish people, what would we do to motivate them? We would go to them and say, if you don't go in, if you don't go into, then no, then we're all going to die. Right? That's what you would say. You would say, if you don't go to Ahasuerush, we're all dependent on you. You have to go and risk your life, because if you don't go in, we're all going to die. What does Mordechai say? We're going to be saved anyway. And now you go and risk your life. So the kasha is, if you're going to be saved anyway, why do I need to go and risk my life? But the next words of the Pasuk says, Darizal, is what it's about. That means, there's a promise, there's a bris. We know that the Jewish people will live on. Klal Yisrael is going nowhere. The question is, says Mordechai to Esther, where are you going to be in that story? Which part are you going to play in the divine plan? So the script is written for the play, says Darizal, says the Rambam. The question is, which part do you want to play in that play? And that you have Bechira on. Which therefore, actually, when you think about it, means that we actually have no Bechira at all in that which we are going to impact other people. We have Bechira to make a choice. We have a choice to make a choice. But we don't have a choice within which to change the course of history, because the course of history is already written. The choice you have is whether we will stand up and be that person, in the same way the Mitzri has the choice to stand up, to be that Mitzri to Mukandik Zerah, we have the chance of Atavei Sevichi Veitu. Where are we going to stand in the way that the world's going to run? And it's very interesting, because when you analyze this, and you think about the choices that we make every day, there was a, I've got a brother-in-law who was brought up in South Africa, a Ronovitz boy, who, when he was 8 years old, he was sitting at the back of his father's car, and the car was hijacked. And a man came to the front of the car and said, "Give me the car or I'll kill you," said to the father. So this boy, who's 8 years old, starts screaming, which is the worst thing, because the response then is you just hand over the keys and you get out of the car and you go. You don't start screaming. So he took out his gun and he shot my brother-in-law 3 times in the head, tried shooting him in the head 3 times. Every time he pulled the trigger, the gun jammed. So he tried again, and he tried again, tried again. And he got so frustrated, he got scared, and he ran off. And they kept the car. But they almost lost their son. Now this person ended up going to court in South Africa, whatever that means. And he was on trial. But he wasn't on trial for murder. He was on trial for attempted murder, right? Whereas actually, according to this Rambam, the Rebbe Shlomo would look at him as a murderer. Because according to this Rambam, the Rebbe Shlomo Lachem Eveshim would say to him, "You pulled the trigger, I stopped it from shooting. But you made the choice to make a choice. You became a murderer through that choice." Because at the end of the day, if this person's not supposed to die, if the person is supposed to die, that's the Rebbe Shlomo. This person will die anyway. If there's a gezeira on anyone in the world that they're supposed to die, whether the person knocks them over by a bus or doesn't knock them over, they'll have a heart attack, they'll get ill. So why is it that we anyway bechlal call the murderer? It's because you made a choice to become a murderer. It's because you pulled the trigger. And it's the complete opposite, if you think about it, of Western society. Western society is to do with our actions. The Rebbe Shlomo is all to do with our intentions. And the same would be the flip side. Imagine someone is a misasi, right? We know by shita, someone's misasi. Someone shoots a gun, he doesn't even realize what he's doing, right? It was completely by this. Someone forces someone to be able to do something. He takes the finger and he pulls the trigger. Has he actually taken action? Is he a murderer? Of course not. Because he never had the intention to do that murder. So the Rambam is saying is that the Mitzrayim, there was a gezeira that they would enslave the Yidden. The question is, which part of history were they going to be on? Were they going to stand up and be a part of history and pay that part of the Rebach Vatsoliyam Ludim Mokimacher, or were they going to be the Atovei Sevechivedu? And the reason why they were punished was because they chose to be part of the Atovei Sevechivedu. And when we make the choices in our life, and we are deciding, should we impact? It's very interesting. I'm involved in the JLE in fundraising. And a lot of times you can meet a funder or a Baal Tzedakah, and he thinks he's the one who's going to change the world. It's his money that's therefore made that impact. And even in Kirov, you can sometimes think it was my Shabbos meal that was that talk, right? What we have to understand is that Rebach Vatzoli Amad Leyut Mokimacher, there's no one who's ever changed the course of history other than the Rebbeinu Shleinu. That's the whole concept of Leif Malach and Bi'al Hashem. Is Trump good for the Jews or not? Well, it depends how good your Rosh Hashanah was. You can have a president who you think is the worst person in the world and can Leif Malach and Bi'al Hashem and can, because the end of what presidents do, and the idea of Leif Malach and Bi'al Hashem is that they are impacting the course of history and therefore the only choices that they can make are on their life, not on the way that it's going to impact someone else. And therefore, if someone wakes up for Shacharis very early, and he's coming to Torah Way, and he gets in his car at 6 o'clock in the morning, and he's intending to come, and then the car breaks down, or someone crashes into him, he gets the schar of someone who's gone to Shacharis. It goes the vice versa as well, because he made that choice that morning to go to Shacharis. Moshe says, "I was the one who stopped the car. You were the one who made the choice to get up and go." And that's the whole concept of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, the Hagam Gemara says, when it comes to Hezek, yeah, the Gemara also says, when it comes to someone damaging someone else, right, then there's always the question, there's always the concept is, why didn't you take more care? So therefore the concept of Adam Mordlainam is, you should have taken more care. But if someone's a complete oinus, right, if someone thinks, then he'll never be held, that maybe it's an immominus, there's a thing. But in terms of the Rebbeinu Shlomo's tevia on him, if someone's a complete oinus, then a Kesh Baruch Hu Faget, Mitzarif Machshava Toivah L'maisa, because he's made that intention and he wanted to do good. The fact that he didn't, he couldn't. And by the way, it also applies to Tzedakah too. Because if someone can't give Tzedakah, if someone's got very little money to give to Tzedakah, but his intention is there, then Faket, then his Maisa Nesina could be much greater than someone else. I was once at a charity dinner, and the person who made up the appeal was a big Rosh Yeshiva. And he got up and he told all the people in the room, he said to them, "I want you to know that this yeshiva has all the money that it needs." Mamash like Mordechai said to Esther, "I want you to know that we didn't think." The question is whether who in the room is going to fulfill it. But we will get by. The yeshiva will live on. The whether you donate tonight or whether you don't donate tonight, we will continue. The yeshiva will have all the money it needs. The question is, do you want to have a part to play in that? And that's the discussion. Do you want to have a part to play in it? And it's a whole different mindset of the way that we interact with the actions that we take in order to improve the world. The Ma'aseh Lecha Mishnah says that the fact that there was a gezeirah and the fact that the Rebbeinu Shlom knew that Klal Yisrael were going to be enslaved by Egypt is no different to any of the regular question we have about HaKadosh Baruch Hu Judea comparative to the fact that we have free choice. So the Lechem Mishnah, the Moshe I heard from one of our Rebbeim is, if you live on the top floor of a block of flats and you can see two roads, right? These two roads kind of come to one junction. You see one car coming at 45 miles an hour, another car coming at 70 miles an hour. And as you're watching these two cars crash, you know that there's no way, just scientifically, that they're not going to crash because it's 5 seconds before the crash and they're just going too fast in order to stop. Do you have any impact on their choice? So the fact that the Rabbeinu Shleilam, the Rabbeinu Shleilam knows that this is going to happen has no impact. So the fact that the Rabbeinu Shleilam was beyond space and time, knew at the time of the Bris Ben of Sarim, Kikei Yezaracha, didn't mean that the Mitzrayim at their time of free will didn't have a choice whether to stand up. That's the Lechem Mishnah's pshat. The Ramban says a different thing. He says, and this comes to this the secretary of Goebbels. He says that it could be that the Mitzrayim could have had a chance. It's the Ramban Pashas Lech Lecha Perek Tesvav Yedalud. He says that when it came to the secretary of Goebbels and her just fulfilling her duties, and any Nazi civil servant or German person that got involved in the war, it could be that there were some which Klap Ishmael Bechlal were not held accountable and others which were. It's hard to imagine how, but this is what the Ramban says. He says that if the Mitzrayim would have stood up and done it poshut because there's a nevuah, that means their whole take would have been, we managed to want to do this, we're not digging in, but this is what we've been forced to do, this is who we are. And then you have the Mitzrayim that were taking whips out and whipping the Yidden and tucking in. Their intention was nothing to do with the fact that it was a gezeirah. They went, may Allah may ever, whatever the gezeirah was, and that's the reason why there was a punishment. The Ramban's idea is that, Taket, you would have had some German young boy who was taken from his parents' home, almost in a tinnik shmishpa, 9 years old, not understanding anything that's going on in the war, and he's writing papers in for Nazi Germany. Maybe, Taket, he wouldn't be held. That was the gezeirah on the Yidden, and whatever happens to the Yidden, that's what happens. But when it comes to the way that we see that with the Yidden have been treated throughout history, as recently as the Germans, but all the way back through to the Mitzrayim, the Goyim never did it without really tucking in. And therefore their intention, because like we said with Bechira, it's about the choice to make a choice. And because their intention was never there, therefore they were held accountable. The Gemara in Pesachim actually says, on Chanani Mishal Ba'azariah, on this idea, that it's Mamash Gemara in Pesachim, and given on base, it says that they jumped in the fire, and they took a Kal V'Choymer from the Tzvardeya. Why? Because the Tzvardeya, they jumped into the ovens, right? And they didn't have to. So Kal V'Choymer we do. So the Shagasari asked the Kasha, he says, well, hang on a second. It says in the Pasuk of Atanu Recha, it says that the Gezeirah was before the Tzvardeya came, it's that they were going to jump in the ovens. So the Shagasari says this same idea of the Rambam. He says, yes, the Tzvardeya were going to jump into the ovens. The question was, which Tzvardeya was going to jump into the ovens? And the fact that they chose to jump into the ovens made it the Kiddush Hashem that it was. And therefore, and how we deal with Bechira Chofshis with animals is a different discussion, but obviously this was there for a lesson. It wasn't that Be'etzim, the Rebbeinu Shlom was showing us something. And the same applies also to the Mitzrayim. And the same applies to our own lives, that when it comes to the choices that we make, then it's only the choice to make the choice that matters. The impact has no impact. We cannot change the course of history. Therefore, when it comes to the question of, is Donald Trump good for the Jews? The answer is, it depends on us, not on him. The gezeiras that will happen over the next few years could be good for the Yidden, not good for the Yidden, but it's nothing to do with him. Funny enough, there was one of his advisors is actually a Yid, as we know, and this week someone sent me a clip of where one of his people said the worst decisions he's making are between 4:21 on Friday afternoon and on Motzei Shabbos at 5:35. Because when his son-in-law isn't around, then he gets out of control. Whether that's true or not is the thing, but that's also part of the Hashgacha, right? Because the Rosh Hashanah is in control, and things which come onto his desk on Shabbos or Sunday doesn't make any difference, Bechlal, to the course of history. I just want to finish off with the Gemara in Shabbos Pei Vav, which Maisa, kind of, as we kind of head towards Parshas Yisro, Matan Torah, really kind of clarifies what it is that is needed from us and how this impacts us in our everyday lives. The Gemara in Shabbos Pei Vav on the base talks about the whole story about when Moshe Rabbeinu came to get the Torah for Klal Yisro. And we don't have time now to go into the whole Gemara, but the first question the Malachim asked is, Mali Yilud Isha? What is this Yilud Isha doing amongst us? So, what would the Malachim have against women? Right? Mali Yilud Isha. What's this man born from a woman? And if it would be born from a man? And also there's a very strange thing over here. Because as he goes through a conversation, he says, give us the Torah. The Malachim say, we don't want to give the Torah. Then the Rebbeinu Shlom says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you stand up and say why you should get the Torah. And he said, Moshe Rabbeinu turns to him, he says, what's it say in the Torah? It says, Kavadis Avicha Vesimecha, do you have parents? It says, Sheish Yisrael and Tas Malachtech, you should do Malacha. Do you have 6 days where you can do Malacha? Do you have Shabbos? Can you eat? Can you steal? Can you have jealousy? And up until the point of where he says all of that, the Malachim are still holding on to the Torah. But then he says, Krum Yishcha Yetzihara. Do you have a Yetzihara? And at that point, then the Malachim concede and they give it to him. And Miyad, and even all the Malachim gave him Matonis, and even the Malach Amoves gave him the Keteris, which saves Klal Yisrael. So my Rebbe of Meir Stern in Rashiba Pesek, he used to ask this question. He said, well, what's going on? What's this dialogue? The Maisa Malachim clearly have no Shaykhus to Kabbalah Savicha Vesimecha. They have no Shaykhus to keeping the Torah. They have no Shaykhus to Shabbos. Of course they don't. They don't have parents. They can't murder. They've got no Shaykhus. So why did he not win the argument over that? And he says, because the Malachim, what they understood at the beginning was when they said, Mali Yilud Isha, they understood that what a woman's role in this world, both biologically and emotionally and spiritually, is a nurturer. All right? That means that if we're born from a woman and we need nurturing, that means we're lacking. That means we can fail. That means that we aren't perfect. So the Malachim are saying, look, you've got this task, you've got these mitzvahs, you've got all these things that you want done. And you're going to trust this person that's going to constantly fail, that's going to need a Rosh Hashanah, that's going to need a Yom Kippur. Why don't you get us to do these tasks? Whatever the task is, we'll figure it out how to deal with Kavos Avicha Vesimecha. But Mali Ludisha, why are you asking people that can constantly fail to do it? And the Bereshit turns to Moshe Rabbeinu and he says, you've got to answer them this. Because if you don't understand this, then you've missed the whole point of the Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu starts saying, do you have parents, do you have this, all these logistical questions. And the Malachim aren't conceding, they're not giving it to him. But when he answers and he says, do you have a Yitzhara? Can you fail? Then suddenly he's turned it back on his head. And then miyad, they give it to him. Why? Because suddenly they understood the Torah wasn't there. The mission that we've been given of all these mitzvahs isn't there to do the mitzvahs. It's the fact that we could not do the mitzvahs and then we choose to do them. The fact that a mitzvah is done is not in our hands. Someone's living in a town somewhere outside in the shadow. He can't get hold of an esrog. He can't get hold of a luluv. Someone's struggling and can't give tzedakah. What do? You're held accountable for that. Someone tries for puravu. He can't have children. You're held accountable for that. The question is, did you make a choice to try to get that esrog, to try to make that luluv, to try to make the world a better place? And that's the pshat in the Rambam. The Rambam says when a person has 100 mob, the person has 100 zuz to give, then he could either give 100 pounds to one moistah, or he can give 1 pound to 100 moistahs, to 100 anim. What should you do? So we would think, we should give 100 pounds, make a big impact. Says the Rambam, no. Give 1 pound to 100 anim. Why? Because the Rishon doesn't need you to change the world. If Rishon would have wanted this Oni to have food, he would have given him. The reason why there's a mitzvah of tzedakah is because it changes us. Changes you. We have to understand that the mitzvah of tzedakah, the mitzvah, the end thing, it's not about us, not about us changing the world. It's about us becoming bigger people. Every time you give tzedakah, that pound, there's something that becomes a bigger giver in you. And it's a complete paradigm shift in the way that we engage with mitzvahs. On the one hand, the person feels very disempowered. He says, what, I can't make a difference? On the other hand, so many of us feel, what can I do? I've only got a little bit of money. I've only got this. No, the whole purpose of the mitzvah is that we can fail, but yet we stand up. And if we do stand up, then that's actually the purpose of creation. And then faket, we'll be mekayem, the true God is the true God of the Mehera B'Yom Meinu. Amen. Very good.
Very inspiring story.